It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Top Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. A little bit of a gift to New York sports fans yesterday, last night, before baseball starts tomorrow, as we are on the eve of opening day for the Mets and the Yankees and the rest of Major League Baseball, as we find out that the New York Giants aren't done with backup quarterbacks and trying to find guys that could win this year for them as they bring in none other and one of my favorites, I say sarcastically, Russell Wilson. Yes, Mr. Let Russ Cook, Mr. Unlimited, Mr. Broncos Country, Let's Ride, Mr. I don't get along with my teammates because they can't understand me, Mr. I really wanted a big contract and I went on the NFL Today and campaigned for that. Sitting next to Boomer, Mr. I'm going to be all over New York with my wife, and this is going to be a great thing for my post-playing career. Russell Wilson is a New York Giant. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. And I will also add to that, Mr. First Ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a First Ballot Hall of Famer. He's had some incredible numbers. He's played over 230 games. And quite frankly, in the last 5 years, he's thrown 123 touchdowns and only 43 interceptions, completed 65% of his passes, and he has a passer rating of 97. And he's been on three different franchises over those 5 years. And, you know, the one with Sean Payton, he had a pretty decent year. He was 25-6 when it came to interceptions, the touchdowns. The thing I will say about Russell Wilson is that he's not the Russell Wilson from 10 years ago, so he's not going to run around and make a million plays the way that he used to, but he still does move around quite a bit. I think that is due a large part to his height and finding places to throw the ball. But, you know, he's a safe guy. He plays safe. He's not a guy that's just going to, you know, he'll throw his moon ball, but he is not going to, he's going to protect the football is what I'm telling you. And he's not going to take a lot of sacks. I just think that, you know, for the Giants right now, they have to win somehow, some way. And they have two reasonably competent quarterbacks to do that. And they've only spent a total of about $14.5 million on those quarterbacks for this specific year. And I don't know if they will still draft the guy. I don't think they will. I mean, could this be a place where you have two veteran quarterbacks? You know, Tommy DeVito's still here, but you have two veteran quarterbacks you just signed. One was a first overall pick. One was a third round pick. One went to the Super Bowl a couple times. You know, it was in the MVP conversation. It's been around. He's 36 years old. Is this a situation where if it is a Shedeur Sanders, is it a good spot for him? I certainly don't think that that's the case. I think the Giants could do one of two things now. Number one, they may get the best player in the draft at the third pick overall. Or number two, they trade out of number three and they trade down to, I don't know, seven or eight and still get a top quality player and acquire a couple other draft picks in order to do that. So a little bit of flexibility. I'm not going to sit here and kill this. I know what Russell Wilson is. I know that he comes across disingenuous, but he is a professional quarterback that can play, that is opposite. He's the opposite of Jameis Winston.
Yeah, of course. Listen, I've never liked the guy, but it doesn't mean that I hate him coming here. I know exactly what the Giants are doing. And I also think there's something that's being missed out there from this signing yesterday and the timing of things. So you don't think that they're going to draft a quarterback, even if one is available there now at three?
Not high. Not high at number three.
See, I disagree. I think the timing of this, so originally, because these GMs, they talk, but you really don't know what they're going to do unless it's like last year where it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. You really don't know, especially this year, what the Titans and the Browns are going to do. So it was assumed that when the Titans brass came out and said, we're not passing on a generational talent, that they're talking about someone other than a quarterback. So then that would mean that the Giants would get either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders at three because the Titans wouldn't be picking one of them. A lot of that has changed in recent days. So the Cam Ward pro day, the Titans apparently growing increasingly interested in Cam Ward, so much so that they got him in for a private workout, and Adam Schefter is putting this out there everywhere about how they're now falling in love with Cam Ward, and no one was thinking that was going to happen.
Maybe they're just trying to up the ante to get to number one.
Yes, I did. But also, as I finished the point,
that now you've got a chance for, that they didn't think it was happening, a chance for Cam Ward, one, the Browns have to take a quarterback at two, and they could be shut out in a season that they have to win. So now they're thinking, all of a sudden, yesterday, to me, it's no coincidence that yesterday all this Cam Ward to the Titans stuff is out there, and then finally the Giants pull the trigger on Russell Wilson because they don't want to be out there, you know, holding their you-know-what and not have a quarterback again because of what happened to him last year when the top three guys were picked and then they couldn't pick a quarterback.
And it also tells you that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is obviously not coming here.
Well, yeah. He'll be able to
Pittsburgh Steelers, right. Yeah. So I agree with your assessment. I just think the Giants are trying to go the best way that they know how, or think that they know how, to play it safe at the quarterback position and not waste this third overall pick on one of these players, you know, that is a reach. I think there are a number of players, and I've said this now for at least a month, that there are probably top 10 players that you could draft at. And by the way, this draft in the first round, this is going to be an edge rusher draft, that there are probably about eight guys that play that position that will go in the first round. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the heavy, emphasis is going to be on that particular position in this draft, in the first round. There'll probably be about four offensive linemen drafted, maybe two running backs, three wide receivers, two quarterbacks, unless Jackson Dart somehow gets in the top 32. I mean,
oh, he will. There's always a guy that ends up in there.
It's going to be a heavy edge rushing draft. That's what it looks like. It's really, you know, turning out to be, which means that the Giants could get one of those really good edge rushers. There's two tackles that they could take. There is a couple of inside linemen they could take. They could possibly take Mason Graham, defensive tackle, who is a stud, by the way. So they're going to get a good player, whoever it is, and that player is going to be expected to start immediately. Hey, they may even have a shot at Travis Hunter.
Yeah, they may. I mean, of course, if the first two teams in the scenario that I painted take a quarterback, and that's I really believe that that's what's going on. I just, if you think about a conversation between Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and everybody else in that building, they know that they have to win more games, significantly more games, to keep their jobs. There's two ways that they keep their jobs past this year. One is they show ownership that they drafted a guy that could be the future of the organization. Or two, they have a winning record or close to a winning record, and the team's got some excitement around them. So what they have done now is gotten an insurance policy here. Now that they think that maybe they get shut out of a quarterback with the first two picks as they sit there number three, they bring in Russell Wilson as the insurance policy and say, hey, if we get shut out with those quarterbacks, at least now we have a guy in Russ that as recently as last year showed us that he can win football games, so much so that that team ended up getting in the playoffs, even though they fell apart at the end of the season. Because what they didn't want to do was have Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito on the roster, and then all of a sudden the draft goes a certain way where they've got, you know, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders go 1-2, and then they take a great player, but now they've got no future at the quarterback position. Jameis Winston's throwing interceptions all over the place. They've got five wins, and then they're gone.
You know, it's kind of interesting that it all happened yesterday, because when we were talking about, and Jerry was playing the cuts of Cam Ward coming from his pro day, and then you listen to his coach, you listen to Cam Ward, you listen to him say, yeah, I showed them exactly what they needed to see. There's a lot of confidence there with that kid, and that kid, I feel like, is really growing on people. And, you know, I think that Joe Shane probably felt yesterday, look, if we're going to have to trade up to number one to get him,
They don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that because we're going to ruin our team. We're going to ruin the future of our team. And quite frankly, I really understand the situation he's in. So I want to give him credit for not overreacting and now buying into everything that the Titans are selling about Cam Ward. And Cam Ward may be good. I know he may be a great player. It sounds like he's a good kid and everything else. So that's great, and he's a good leader. But he's going to struggle. He's going to a team that's going to struggle, and it sounds like he wants to play for Brian Callahan, their head coach down there, because Brian Callahan has coached some very good quarterbacks in this league, including Joe Burrow, his last stop prior to becoming the head coach of the Titans. So it sounds like that's the case. And now the Giants just sit here, and they could take one of like five different players at number three that will be immediate starters for them.
Yeah,
on either side of the ball.
Right,
by the way.
Right. Which would be great for them and the future of the team. But I think where we disagree is I still think if you've got a situation where Shedeur Sanders is available at three, I still think the Giants take Shedeur Sanders.
You want to know who I think is. In a weird way, this could happen, and I don't know. Again, this is just pure speculation on my part.
I love pure speculation.
I know you do, especially when I give it to you and it actually works out. And then I can refer back to the pure speculation.
What'd I tell you?
You know, I still, for whatever reason, believe that Shedeur Sanders is going to end up with the Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
I just believe that. I don't know why. He's working out with Tom Brady, supposedly. He and Tom Brady have had a lot of interaction together. I know they traded for Geno Smith.
Geno's not 25 years old anymore.
I know, but time out. Geno wanted a contract extension from Seattle. Seattle offered him the same contract that they just gave to Sam Darnold. Once Geno wanted more money than that, that's when they decided to trade him. I have not seen a new contract down the pipe here for Geno Smith from the Raiders at all.
No.
And could the Giants say to the Raiders, yeah, you know, we'll let you trade up to three if Shedeur is there. We'll take seven and maybe take two other draft picks from you and still at number seven be able to get a very valuable player because it's inside the top 10 where most of the really top, all the top players are. But they say that there are a lot of can't-miss players in the top 10. And I'm just going by listening to the Todd McShays of the world, the Mel Kuypers of the world, the people that do this for a living. And maybe the Giants are able to acquire even more players with a trade with the Raiders, if in fact Shedeur is there.
Yeah, I mean, that is a scenario that I could absolutely see playing out. Another one I could see playing out, and this sets up just wonderfully for drama, is that the Cleveland Browns, they see Cam Ward go number one to the Titans. They want a quarterback, need a quarterback with the situation that they are in, and then you get the Deion camp and Shedeur saying, nope, we're not going to that organization. You've ruined 10 million quarterbacks. We're not going to be 10 million and one. And then you get one of those deals where he either gets traded to the Giants, the Browns pick him, or the Browns don't pick him because of all of this, and then they have to be able to trade with either the Browns or the Raiders. It could be high drama now. If Cam Ward really does go to the Titans, and it feels like there's a lot of momentum in that way, and we still got weeks to go, that Shedeur Cleveland Browns thing is just huge.
You know, there's a really, I don't know if he's a smart, I know he's a smart player. I know he's a great player. I know that when the season was over, he was chirping. He wanted out of Cleveland. We're not winning. I'm a winner. I want to win. I got to get out of here. Cleveland signs Kenny Pickett. They give Miles Garrett, they back up the Brinks truck and they give him the money. Oh, I can't, I'm going to retire Brown now because you overpaid me like you overpaid Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you, the Browns should have traded Miles Garrett. They should have traded Miles Garrett. They should have restarted because they have the same quarterback issues that the Giants have.
And it's worse because of the Deshaun Watson
right,
contract.
Exactly. I mean, Deshaun Watson's not going to be available this year anyway. But that contract's a killer. That whole situation's a killer. But Miles Garrett should have really forced a trade to a winning team in the NFC. And somebody would have given, I think would have given them a haul for Miles Garrett. Plus, they would have paid Miles Garrett, not the Browns. And the Browns could have restarted their entire franchise. And I think they made a mistake. Now, they may end up drafting Shedeur Sanders. Is that going to keep Miles Garrett happy? I guess 2 years from now, Miles Garrett will be, chirping again that this franchise is horrendous. Because they just don't know what they don't know what they're doing. They can't get out of their own way.
Right. I mean, unless they draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, and that player turns out to be Jaden Daniels. That's the only way that team can turn it around. And I think they have to draft a quarterback. I don't think they have a choice. I mean, okay, Kenny Pickett's there. What, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, is he still there? Like, what are they? Deshaun Watson retores Achilles. You're never going to see that guy play a game in the NFL ever again, I don't think.
I'm like,
what are you going to do?
How many years off can he take and still get paid? He's got the Kevin Durant thing down to a science.
Yeah, indeed. But I think that they're going to have to take a quarterback. I think they have to.
And maybe Joe Shane knows that.
And that's why he ended up, and that's why I think that they had this insurance policy with Russell Wilson, because they did not want to assume that they were going to get one of those two quarterbacks, not get one of those guys, and then go into the season with Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito because they know Aaron Rodgers wasn't coming there.
The problem really with Russell the last couple, well, especially last year, he only played 11 games because Justin Fields started. There's a reason, you know, Justin Fields was 4-2 and when Russell took over. And you're sitting there going, like, why? Something must be up with, you know, with Justin Fields. Like, what? Why would you take a guy off the field?
Well, I can't throw the ball. That's why.
Well, I mean, the Jets, hopefully he can throw for the Jets.
Well,
now that's interesting, too. Let's say Shador does fall to the Jets. I don't think he will, but if he did, would the Jets go for him?
I think you have to. I mean, if he falls all the way down there, I think you have to.
Weird is going on with these guys. I think that Cam Ward has really solidified himself. I think there's still a lot of discussion out there about Shador. I even think there's still a lot of discussion out there about Travis Hunter because though he's got great college player, two-way player, 65 plays a game, insane. Where is he going to be great on the NFL football field? And should he be the defensive back or should he be the wide receiver or should he? I think what's going to happen is whoever drafts him. This is the conundrum that the Giants have. They need defensive backs.
Yeah, but I think that, so I'll go back to the two ways they keep their job. So think about this. Let's say they get shut out of the quarterback and that option of keeping their job doesn't exist because one of the options is you draft a young quarterback, shows he's the future of the franchise. Joe Shane nailed it. Brian Daboll looks like he's got a handle on this thing and they keep their job. So let's say that's not an option. Now what they do, they get Russell Wilson there who can win some games. And now you draft a guy like Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. So Joe Shane, and let's assume one of those two guys works out. You say, I got Malik Nabers last year. I got Travis Hunter or Duke Carter this year. Like, yeah, the quarterback position's kind of been a disaster. But look, we are stocking this team with studs, and we won 9 games of Russell Wilson last year.
Yeah, that would be the hope.
So how could you fire us now? So that's what their plan B is if a quarterback isn't available.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's unfortunate for them that they won a couple games that they shouldn't have last year. But had they not won those games, maybe they end up getting fired because of it.
Yeah, and this has the potential to be the most interesting quarterback room I've ever seen. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Shador Sanders, and Tommy DeVito. I mean, that is like the original kings of comedy.
Yes.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't think that's going to
happen. But if it did, it would be amazing. You couldn't get 4 more different guys. You really couldn't.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know, Shador's an uber confident guy, and obviously he rubbed people the wrong way at the combine. It's been talked about incessantly. You know, I just hope for his sake that he ends up going somewhere, not Cleveland, not the Giants, somewhere where he can sit for a year or two. And
well, he would sit with the Giants if they drafted him now. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, I mean,
he would definitely sit.
It's interesting. It's really interesting. I kind of like what the Giants did. They really have no other choice. They tried for Matthew Stafford. They tried for Aaron Rodgers, and they end up signing two guys that at least give you an opportunity to go out there, call plays, and throw the ball down the field and try to keep Malik Nabers happy.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that we should, even though, and listen, I understand that Russell Wilson is not the same guy 10 years ago, but you should see competent offensive football from the Giants this year, which is something that we have not seen.
Why not
we
think
should
about
see
it.
That.
So in 2020, Russell Wilson threw 40 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions for Seattle. Then it was 25-6. And then under Hackett,
yeah,
that was a disaster. That's not his fault as much as it is Denver and who is running the team, the ownership of the team, because the ownership changed right after this. And Russell took advantage of all of it. Because Denver thought by hiring Hackett, they were going to be able to get Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay. Aaron decided to stay in Green Bay one more year with his buddies. Remember that whole story?
Of course, yeah.
So they had a pivot, Denver did, because they knew they hadn't had a quarterback since Peyton Manning had left. So they, like the Giants, you know, are sitting there going, we got to have somebody. So they bring in Russell Wilson, and he does not mesh with Hackett. He's closer with the GM. He's closer with the ownership. He's got his own office in the building. It was ridiculous. And, you know, he ends up going 16-11 that year in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. And it wasn't great. So now they got to bring in Sean Payton to put the whole thing straight. And he goes 26-8 with Sean Payton his first year together. But, you know, that was just a year that was they were going to be forced on each other. Mm-hmm. They were going to have to deal with it. And Sean Payton was going to, I just don't want to deal with this guy. I want a new guy in here. And that's why he ends up, you know, going to Pittsburgh on the cheap, because Denver was still paying him. And I don't know why Mike Tomlin didn't want him back. I guess for some reason Mike Tomlin wasn't a big fan, it seems like.
Yeah, he couldn't have been a big fan of either one of those guys with the contracts that they both got, because they were not massive contracts.
No, they weren't.
So I think they were set. Once they knew Aaron Rodgers was available and interested, I think they were dead set on getting him and didn't want either one of these two guys.
Yeah, and I think they're going to pay Aaron Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers got $75 million guaranteed from the Jets. And the Jets, I think, are still paying him some money this year. You know, Aaron Rodgers is not going to Pittsburgh for the cheap.
You're
either paying him full boat for 2 years, which I think is the smart thing for Pittsburgh to do and Aaron Rodgers to do, unless Aaron is still waiting around for the Vikings. But I think he's got to give Pittsburgh an answer, because Pittsburgh needs to know going into this draft, what do we need to do? Do we need to draft Jaxon Dart? Do we need to go after Kyle McCord? Do we need to go after Jalen Milroe, one of those guys later on in the draft?
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh's desperate at this point. He's not going to go to Minnesota. You're going to see J.J. McCarthy start there, but they're desperate. There's no other options now. They can't bring Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back anymore. They're here in New York.
It's Boomer and Geo. Actually, remarkable day yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of fun, though.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We had some Knicks history last night, other things going on in sports, and Jerry Recco is here to tell us all about it. Good morning, Jerry. Good
morning. We are brought to you by Dr. Jay Shaw at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. And I'll get to that in just a moment, but first we'll just run through a couple of the football notes. I know it's low-hanging fruit, but this is your guy.
I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited.
We'll go get those giant jerseys, as he is now, Mr. Unlimited.
I know, you love that, G.
Yeah, you know, and I posted that last night. I didn't watch it because I can't hear it or see it anymore. I just found the video and posted it because if there was anybody out there who hadn't seen it, that was a Giants fan, needed to see it just to get the full picture of your guy, Russell Wilson.
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
I mean, it's a tough thing to listen to, man. Really tough.
Bad. Yeah. I mean, look at his QB record, 121-77. The average is 231 yards per game. 350 touchdowns to 111 interceptions.
Better hope that's not 124-85 this year. Well, anyway, so he's the latest Giants quarterback. We will see what is to come with the draft. All right, Kay Adams did her Up and Adams show at the NFLPA golf event, which was kind of cool. One of the players she spoke to, of many, was Drake May. Now, Steph Diggs is signing with the Patriots. A 3-year deal goes to $70 million. And you had May immediately following Diggs on social media.
I'm a young player, try to pay respects, and anybody that I used to grow up watching and play Madden with, try to, pay respects.
Doesn't that make you just feel old?
Yeah, I played Madden with.
I grew up playing Madden with him. Well, now he's his teammate, so supposedly he'll be all recovered from the injury in time for the start of the season, from what I read.
Speaking of Kay Adams, did you see that she was the on-course reporter for the YouTube Creator Classic?
I didn't. I didn't watch it. I didn't know that. Was she really?
Yeah, so she's out there interviewing Grant Horvat.
That's cool.
Fat Perez and Wesley Bryan and Gabby Golf Girl. I'm like, what? How do you get that job? Strange.
She's Kay Adams.
Yeah, I guess. I know. I was like, that's a little jealous.
Was FanDuel sponsoring it?
No.
No?
That's right, because she's on the FanDuel Sports Ed.
I don't think so. They could have been, but I didn't see it.
Which would make sense. She also spoke to your guy, J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, yes. So this was the guy's going to suck in the NFL. He just is. He doesn't have it. Love J.J. I'm just telling you right now, you can smell it.
Hot take.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, got no choice but to support him now, you know?
Well, here's the good news. Yeah. You have to like the mindset he has, because she basically posed the question or the comment that, you know, it's got to feel pretty good that now we as fans know that you are the number one guy and you're the number one quarterback in Minnesota. His response,
They haven't told me, and I'm happy they didn't, because I try to earn it every single day, and I never want that to be given to me, and it's such a privilege and opportunity to give me that chance, and I'm just going to make the most of it every single day.
That's pretty good. Saying all the right things. Love it. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, what I had heard from out of there.
Oh, here we go.
So I got some people out there They didn't love his maturity. Sounds great, but they were a little concerned about having him start this year, and that's why they were thinking about other things. But since it shook out the way that it did, this is your guy now. So it's up to Kevin O'Connell to get him to be a man now and not this like teenage kid who plays video games and does stuff like that.
Okay.
That's what he has to do.
Looks like he is your guy. So pretty good. And then real quick before I do the basketball, I only play this because well, this was months ago. You talk about a bad contract. So this was Ken Kendrick. Who is Ken Kendrick? Remember this audio from after the season Jordan Montgomery had with the Diamondbacks? He's their owner. Yeah.
Right.
That's great.
Looking back, in hindsight, a horrible decision, you know, to have invested that money in a guy that performed as poorly as he did. It's our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint.
Well, it gets worse. He's having Tommy John surgery now.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah. Horrible. Definitely a horrible decision.
I mean, you talk about just... Oof,
I would think that he can't wait to get the hell out of there, too, by the way.
Probably.
Although it's great to play there, great to live there.
And now rehab there.
Yes.
So that was on the Burns and Gambo show from several months ago. All right, let's get to the Knicks last night. They took on the Mavericks. They won, and history made at the Garden. A 128-113 win.
Bridges backdoor and throws it down. And there's the triple-double from Carl Anthony Towns. First time in Knicks history, two Knicks had a triple-double in the same game.
This is how we started the game. That's the back door coming wide open for the Knicks.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing, yes. In all the years of Knick basketball, it's the first time.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, back when Walt was playing, he was a triple-double machine. Who on that team could have done the same thing? Maybe DeBuscher?
But never did it together.
Yeah, they never did it together. Yeah. That's amazing.
I was shocked that Steve Francis and Mike Sweetney didn't do it. That's what I thought those two guys would have.
How about Steph Marbury? And who's that big center that they brought in?
Eddie Curry.
Holy God. Well, anyway, OG Anunoby kind of gets passed over.
By the way, Marbury's coming back out with his sneakers.
I saw that. The Starberries. The affordable Starberries coming back out.
Anunoby had 35, but it was Towns and Hart, obviously, that stole the show. 26, 12, and 11 for Towns. 16, 12, and 11 for Hart. Here was Hart on MSG. Towns was the key tonight.
We knew we had a cut. We had to be aggressive, played through him, and he has great vision. So when they're able to get to that cutting game and get guys moving, get the defense moving, make them make mistakes, we'll capitalize.
And here's
no Kyrie Irving, no Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic. You know, Klay Thompson's the only one that really did anything. I mean, this is a game they should have won.
And they did. And they're 45-26. Knicks right back at it tonight as they take on the Clippers, while the Nets will host the Raptors on
win
the
this one tonight.
Win this one tonight, yes.
They're not traveling. They're at home.
That is true. The Heat buried Jimmy Butler and the Warriors 112-86. There was no Steph Curry in this game because of the pelvic injury that he suffered the other day. Here was Eric Spoelstra. Says the fans with Butler back into this.
I mean, the energy in the building was great. You know, if you're a competitor, you love this kind of environment. We didn't do any kind of extra motivational speech, you know, leading up into this. It was more about us just staying the course with our process.
And here was just one from Butler, a short one. Just, was it weird being in the visiting locker room after all your years in Miami?
I haven't pulled into that interest in a while, but it looks like I'm going to be doing that for the next couple of years.
Well, yeah, that is true. You're not there anymore. So anyhow, that was the deal last night in Miami. Richard Pitino being hired as the new head coach at Xavier, so he'll be in the same conference with his dad.
I thought he was going to Villanova. Has Villanova made their decision yet?
I don't believe so.
I haven't seen it. I know that they were talking about, there was all this stuff about Maryland's coach, Kevin Willard, but it sounds like he's staying in Maryland, thank God. What is Villanova doing?
I don't know. Sean Miller left Xavier for Texas, by the way.
And do you think that Richard Pitino will use his dad's age against him when he's recruiting and using the transfer portal? Be like, listen, I'm essentially him, but he's ancient. He's not going to be doing this for a while. I'm going to be around for a long time.
All's fair.
I would say that St. John's has more money than Xavier does.
But that's why you got to play dirty with the other stuff.
Yeah, but that's why. But that's, it's all about the money, man. You see that. You know that. I know that. Everyone else knows that. This is not college basketball as we remembered it. This is basically semi-pro.
Indeed. Pro, actually.
By the way,
pro.
One of the things you talked about happened immediately. So Ben McCollum goes to Iowa as the new head coach.
Yep.
And he takes his star player, I shouldn't say takes, but his star player, Bennett Sturts, averaged almost 20 a game.
See ya.
Into the portal Sturts. And going to Iowa. Yeah. How many players do you think are in the portal as of last night?
1,500.
More.
3,000.
No. You were close with the 1,500.
1,750.
It's between 1,700 and 1,800. As of last night, could be more even now.
That's ridiculous. So, yeah. And some of these players, all right, let me ask you this. Are any of the players in the portal right now playing in the Sweet 16?
Yes. Justin Pippen went into the portal for Michigan.
So
Michigan's still playing.
Right. So is he going to play for Michigan?
I don't know. He has played. He's not one of their star players.
Yeah, I know.
But he gets minutes.
Do you think at some point we're going to have contracts?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I think they have to.
The biggest problem is the NCAA has got to get Congress involved. And then somehow they're going to have to.
Because they always get everything done, right?
Oh, yeah, they get everything together. But basically what it comes down to creating a CBA, a collective bargaining agreement with the players who will be a part of a union. And that's the only way I think that you can somehow create an environment where there's a little bit more control than what's going on right now.
They should also do away with the kids going to class. No more scholarships. They just represent the school as pros,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially what.
Well,
what
happens if a kid wants to go to class?
Hmm?
Wants to get an education?
Good. Then he can use the millions of dollars he's getting paid to play to pay for his education.
I was reading an article about BYU and how they have set up their program there, and it's really fascinating to listen to what they have done for their players. Not only do they pay their players, but it's all about brand imaging. It's all about teaching them about how to handle money. It's about business. It's about, you know, the future. It's not just basketball. And a lot of the guys that are going there want the education that they're receiving as well as the money that they're getting and to play basketball at a great university.
Hmm. Kings beat the Rangers 3-1.
Yeah.
You predicted 4-1, so you were pretty close. Tonight, the Islanders home for Vancouver.
We can't win it. 23 shots on goal.
And they had 32 shots on goal, I believe.
Igor always has to make about 15 or 16 more saves per game than the other team's goalie.
And the Devils in Chicago tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Russell Wilson is a Giant. What will they do late April in the draft? 888-808-1019. Boomer and I disagree. Boomer thinks that they will not take a quarterback now. I think the only way that they don't take a quarterback is if the Titans take Cam Ward and then the Browns take Shedeur Sanders and they don't have anybody there at the top of the draft that they're going to take at that position. They end up going in a different direction and getting a really, really good player, maybe even the best player in the draft. Also talk some college basketball with Jerry, and Dominic in North Carolina joins us. He's got some thoughts on that. What's going on, Dominic?
Yeah, good morning. Love you guys, as you know. You were talking about the NIL and the portal in the last segment. Here's my question I always wonder. This is a huge multi-billion-dollar business. The kids are paying income tax on the NIL money that the universities funnel to them. In what universe are these universities still nonprofits? I mean, who are we kidding at this point?
Yeah, not only are they nonprofit, they also receive government endowments or government, I won't say loans, but they receive money from the federal government too. Like, so you see, you read it and you're like, how the hell, where the hell's all the money going?
And I mean, that the grants they get are just the tip of the iceberg, because the tuition is all federally funded too and backed by loans, as we all know. So this whole thing is an incredible boondoggle, and they're not paying any taxes on it at all.
That's right. Most universities are nonprofit.
Yeah, I mean, it is insanity. And then people, you know, have to take out student loans. There's parents that end up, you know, their entire retirements are going into sending their kids to school. And these schools are just, they're swimming in money.
Well, they have endowments as well, which are mostly, you know, charitable gifts from past alum. And like, you know, Harvard's sitting on $12 billion. But I will say this for St. John's, and we're talking about this yesterday, because they don't have a football program that they have to worry about.
Yeah,
they have more money to spend on their basketball team.
Sure,
and that's their revenue. That's, you know, they're a part of the NCAA Big East, and that's a big part of the revenue for St. John's. But they don't have to share this money with any football players like Maryland or Rutgers or schools like that in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think that sooner than later, we're going to start seeing contracts, and I don't know how you're going to be able to stop that. Now, I know that a players union is something that is very, very important that needs to happen sooner than later, and I think will. You're starting to see GMs now that are a part of programs. You're going to have to get a players union. But I think that you're going to see the top guys in football and basketball, the top programs, say to those guys, hey, we'll give you this, 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 and this, but you got to be here for 2 years. You got to sign a 2-year contract. You're not allowed to go in the transfer portal, and that's that. And then there could be a chance, though, that teams that start doing that, there'll be another team out there that says, hey, we'll give you $10 million, and you don't have to leave, or you don't have to sign a contract, and you can go into the transfer portal. But something's got to change, because you can't have, you know, in college basketball, 1,700 players when season ends going into the transfer portal.
It was kind of interesting. I think it was Colorado State, because obviously I'm watching the game. It's Maryland. I think there was a kid on Colorado State that had been at 4 different universities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of that, especially now with the, you know, this is the end of the COVID athlete who got that extra year.
Yeah.
But you're going to see, you know, a lot of these things, guys that are older, guys who have been to 10 million schools. I mean, it's a different world. But as I've said before, I don't think it's affecting the fan all that much, like the generic college basketball fan. I mean, maybe they're disappointed that the mid-majors aren't upsetting. But then again, like you would get people that would say, oh, this Sweet 16 sucks because you got some of these Cinderella teams getting smacked around by the one seeds. And it's not good basketball. So I don't know what people want. I know they want good competitive basketball that they can bet on. And I don't think they give two craps about who's getting paid or not.
You know, I would say there's probably about 10 freshmen that came out of high school, like Cooper Flagg and Derek Queen for Maryland. You know, and of course, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey over at Rutgers, that are all going to get drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. And I was just thinking that if I were a college basketball coach, unless I got one of those types of guys to come to my school and I was able to pay them, I would be recruiting out of the transfer portal totally.
Oh, yeah.
Or I would go to, you know, one of these JUCO colleges where a kid has played for 2 years. And guess what? He has 4 years left of eligibility now due to a court ruling.
Sure.
So you could have a 6-year player.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it,
yeah,
that would be the guy that I would be going after. But, you know, it's amazing. There's also now rankings for guys in the transfer portal.
Of course. I mean, there's no doubt that that was going to happen at some point. That's why you give someone like Rick Pitino, and even though John Calipari had his struggles there with Arkansas and they ended up being a 10 seed, they should have been better. But guys that stuck around, like, you know, Coach K, gone. You know,
Jay Wright,
gone. Like these guys. But the guys who have stuck around and have had success in the past and now are having success with the transfer portal, I mean, it's really remarkable. I mean, because it's a completely different landscape.
You know, I listened to Kevin Willard, the head coach at Maryland, over the last 10 days, or probably the last week, actually, talking about contracts and ADs leaving and who he's negotiating with and how he sees his program. And if they want to be great, this has got to be the investment. I mean, he is putting the hammer down on University of Maryland. Like, in other words, since Gary Williams left, there has been this void of, it's good basketball, it's not great basketball, but it is a basketball school, by the way.
Yeah.
And the basketball fandom around the University of Maryland is huge. I mean, and it is passionate. And now, right now, at this moment in time, Kevin Willard has the hammer down and he has all the leverage. He's tried to back off some of the things that he said last week, but I think what he's really talking about is like, hey, look, man, if you want to be a top-tier program, then there has to be money that's going to be spent on this program, and we got to make sure that we have all the facilities that we need to be able to out-recruit everybody else. And that's a pretty strong take by a guy who's only been there for about 3 or 4 years.